Greetings, Internet. This is episode 10 of Diary of Lincoln Geek, and we are talking about Dead Tree format games versus the digital versions. I am Mr. Chris. We've also got Georgie.
Mr. Pac-Mule himself.
And we've got Dan Face today as well.
The Dan Face. That's me. Hi, everyone.
Mr. Dan. George, come on. You know, what's your opinion about Dead Tree versus digital these days?
What's better? What do you prefer?
Yeah, what do you prefer?
I always prefer Dead Tree. Not because of the lovely bits of cardboard. If anything, I actually think some of the digital versions have much better presentation. But just being in a room with your mates and a beer and just chilling. I say, when we went to the expo and we got a chance just to chill out one evening, lovely new people, and just have a beer and a game. Oh my God, I missed it so much. I'm really looking forward to playing more games. So I think it's just that atmosphere of being around a board game with your mates just makes it brilliant. That said, I think the digital versions are so good, and I love playing them as just a bit of a distraction. I mean, a lot of them, of course, have fairly reasonable AI modes where you can just play for yourself. I say, I think without digital board games and digital adaptations on Tabletop Simulator, I think we'd all have gone a bit nuts through lockdown.
Yes, it's a big shout out to digital games for getting me through the pandemic, to be honest.
You know, I don't know about you, Dan, but digital has its time and place. I struggle to find time for both at the moment with a newborn. You know, when I get a chance, you know, it recently, of course, with everything that's been going on in the world, you know, digital's kind of worked out well. There's quite a nice selection on Steam, but you can also get emulated actual, you know, board game versions on Tabletop Simulator. And that's what we've been playing a lot recently, haven't we?
That's right. I mean, basically, we've got every board game ever made.
Yeah.
You can play through fan-made mods on Tabletop Simulator or other games or other platforms as well. There's like one called Tabletopia, which I've actually tried. But the one we're currently messing around with is Tabletop Simulator, which I think has been amazing at keeping me sane through this whole lockdown 1, 2, and 3, or whatever number we're on.
I'm losing track.
The optimal is always going to be Dead Tree.
You can't beat having a board
game. Sociability-ness. Yeah. I mean, the whole reason I got into board games really is because I used to play video games lots. And then I worked in IT. So basically, I was staring at a screen all day at work. I used to go home and stare at a screen. So then I kind of started branching out into board games. And actually, it was nice to have a hobby that wasn't staring at a screen. And it just got more sociable. I made a new circle of friends. It's how I met you, Chris, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But my appreciation of digital games has just increased dramatically since the lockdown, really, just in terms of accessibility-ness, in terms of playing the physical version of Terraforming Mars might give me night terrors of the full game. But I think playing on digital is a breeze. It's already set up.
Yep.
It does all the calculations for you. Yep. You can't do the rules wrong.
Well, as long as they've been programmed correctly.
when they're programmed correctly. You know,
Like games on Steam, they generally won't let you break the rules. So you can't accidentally play the game wrong. So I think it's a great way of learning games.
Definitely. And none of the other physical world problems, like nudging a table and losing all of your game's progress as bits go flying across the board.
Unless you've got someone that does a table flip on Tabletop Simulator.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tabletop Simulator is basically got all the same problems as playing physical games just over a virtual setting, because no one's there to teach you the rules. So basically, you need someone that needs the rules. And if you are clumsy with the pieces, you can knock over everything, which I'm sure we all have several times. And there is a flip the table button as well, just like in real life. Though it's unfortunately, there's a rewind button, which hasn't been yet to be implemented into real life yet. So
the one difference with the digital versions, even if it's Tabletop Simulator, you can't spill beer on your Tabletop Simulator version. You can spill beer on your laptop, though. I don't recommend you do it.
You can spill on your PC, which still breaks the game.
I mean, you know, there's a point that one of our regular visitors that makes on our Discord channel, which is a nice little lead into the fact that we have a Discord channel. So if you want to come along and put comments about what we're talking about on the podcast, then you're welcome.
Excellent plug there, Chris.
The advantage of obviously playing a game on Tabletop Simulator is, you know, reaffirms if you like the game in preparation for buying that game, because sometimes you'll fork out 40, maybe 50 quid. You think this wonderful game, is going to be amazing. Say the point about Labyrinth, the board game. I wish I'd played a tabletop version before I'd bought that and wasted 60 quid because basically I hated it. It was awful. And I told, you know, Riverhorse at Expo I didn't like it. And
I thought you were going to get in a fight with them at some point, Chris.
Oh.
Poor Riverhorse. I know what you mean, though. Board games are, they do feel like a big investment, especially as they're kind of like an event, aren't they? You get all your friends around, get them all out there. And if you spend like 50, 40 quid and then the game turns out to be a dud, it's just really disappointing.
That has definitely got an advantage over digital board games, without a doubt. If you haven't got great review websites like us, then you're relying on your own personal opinion of a game.
Well, yeah, it's been a great to kind of try and then know if I'll need a, if I want to buy the physical version. I've seen loads of games on offer.
Oh, yeah, I've done that with so many digital games where it's try before you buy.
I mean, they're still like 5 to 10 quid, like the official games, but it's just so much easier to learn and find out if you like a game via that than making a big splurge on 50 quid of a huge physical Dead Tree game.
Saying that, actually, some of the digital games, if you're a good spot for deals, you can get them at almost nothing. Like a number of the games which we've got, like Talisman, where you got them for like a quid.
Yeah, yeah, completely. The Steam sales have been very generous to me.
Well, I think pandemics helped that because they've realised there's an influx of people playing digital board games.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, you can try and convert a Dead Tree game and play it over Zoom, which we've done successfully with Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle, because it's open-handed. Yeah. You can get away with it. You know, when you can't do that and you want alternatives, people go to Steam or Tabletopia or Tabletop Simulator. Without it, they're stuck at home all by themselves.
From my point of view, I mean, my wife isn't really interested in gaming, and my toddler, he eats the pieces, so I can't really get these big box games out with him. So it is actually, from my point, I'm more or less a solo gamer these days. So having the digital games with like the AI partners and the option to play online with you guys and all my friends and everything, it's been a lifesaver just in terms of keeping my morale up.
Yeah, it's been great playing digital games for you guys. I mean, actually getting a good number of people round for some of these bigger games, like the game which Dan's not allowed to mention. You know, it's difficult to get that many people together, especially now we're all adults, etc. You know, have these real lives to get in the way. It's actually a lot easier to get a group together for digital games.
Definitely. Yeah, we've had quite a few Saturday evenings or Friday evenings, so just all, we're all online, just spontaneous. Let's all play a game. Jump online on Steam, and 10 minutes later, everything's set up. Everyone's logged in. It's brilliant.
Exactly. And, you know, we've actually streamed some of those games, haven't we? So if you are into board games and you like watching digital board games being played, you can actually catch up on the YouTube channel as well as Twitch. They're all available there for playback. So do have a look and check those out, because I'm not going to mention the name of the game because we're not allowed to mention it.
The game that cannot be mentioned is quite a long game.
Yeah, it is.
It's a long playthrough. But you can mainly watch it just to watch us accuse each other and distrust each other. I think that's the main entertainment, really.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and me winding up, you know, Dan.
I was like, is anyone else hearing those voices? Just in case people aren't seeing the live stream. Chris just joined in late and just started like whispering, kill them.
By the way, some of the later streams are not safe for work. So I wouldn't recommend listening to, you know, or watching those in your work time. But the podcast is family friendly. So you can listen to the podcast anytime you like, day or night.
I do find it somewhat ironic, though, because like I said, I kind of started more video games rather than board games. I mean, I just thought there was just stuff like Monopoly, that kind of thing, you know. I never really moved past them. I stopped doing video games for a while, got a bit burnt out on them, went on to board games, and now I'm playing video games of board games. So I've gone full circle. And most of the games on my PC can handle, because my PC is so old, I can only handle digital board games.
Yeah, the hamster might need replacing soon.
Yes, I think I do need to get a new PC, because I can't play any actual PC games now from the current gen.
Well, look, you know, if we've got anyone out there that listens to the podcast and follow it and wants to sort Dan out with a new rig
to donate,
for which you wish to donate to the channel, then please do. We would always happily take up rigs to review and rate, and any equipment to review and rate if needs be.
I think we have a comment from our Discord from Pete. I know you briefly mentioned it, but I'll just read him through it now. He's a bit of a mint condition nut as well, so that's a good thing to consider. He doesn't like having his games damaged. Playing them digital reduces any risk of damage.
Unless you start playing beta versions.
But my argument is then, why have the real version if you're going to play digital version?
I think that leads into another topic for another time of, at what point do board game enthusiasts become collectors as opposed to gamers?
Yeah, that's very true.
I kind of agree with protecting your games to a degree, but I think they do need to be played. You know, yeah. The games deserve to be played. I didn't look after my games at all when I first had them. We used to spill beer on them. There was no card sleeves or anything. It was terrible.
And then I introduced you to card sleeves and you were like, no.
Now I spend more on card sleeves than I do the game sometimes.
Yeah, but what we're seeing more and more now is when you've got games coming out as Kickstarters, as an example, they often come with backing levels that give you the relevant protection for your games. They're thinking about, you know, people, you know, sleeving up their cards and protecting elements of the game more and more these days. Because let's face it, when you've got games like that that you love a lot, then you protect them. You know, I'm a massive fan of Ascension, the deck builder. There's a review on the site for that if you want to go check that out. But I sleeved up all my cards and I've got 5 or 6 expansions of that. Worth every penny because we play it a lot in our house. It's one of the games my wife loves. You know, it was one of the first games I introduced to her when we were dating. And she didn't run away.
It's a good litmus test for your relationship there.
Exactly. That game has a special place for both of us. So it's nice. So when you've got games like that, you want to protect them.
I think we've agreed there's a place for both physical and digital in today's world.
Yeah, totally agree.
But physical is still definitely better.
Option A would always be physical, I think, but just feasibly, the digital versions are just so much more accessible.
Mm. However, the ability to be able to quickly go online, either on your Discord or on your Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or however you communicate with your group of friends and go, who's up for a quick game online tonight? And they can go, me, me, me. And from all you know it, you've got 3 people all available who wants to play that said game there and then. With a physical game, you've got to physically go around to someone's house, get it set up, like you said.
Then you've got to set the game up. Yeah, it's a whole day, basically. Play like an hour game digitally. All done. Everyone's happy. Or you could like take several hours for everyone to meet up.
And it takes you out of your environment. Well, look, you know, I think we've covered quite a lot in this podcast today, guys. It's a good episode.
Keep listening to all the wonderful podcasts, which we publish out there, from all the usual places where you can probably get podcasts. And if you want to know more about Diary of a Lincoln Geek, go to our website, www.doalg.co.uk. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Instagram. Until next time, we've been Diary of a Lincoln Geek, and play more games.
Yep, play more, guys. Take care and stay safe.
Take care, everyone. Bye.